morning, His Tabernacle. How are you doing? All right. If you all just want to come up to the front, we're going to get ready to worship God this morning. I'm so excited. I know He's already in this place just waiting to meet with us, so we're going to pray and get right into it. Amen. Jesus, I thank you that you have given us another opportunity to meet with you and meet with you freely. God, I thank you that this morning we're going to take this opportunity that you've given us, and you are going to show up where we expect you to, Jesus. We raise our expectation of you, God. We know that your presence is going to come down even more powerfully than it did last week and the last week before that, Jesus. We raise our expectation this week, and God, we just give free rein to your Holy Spirit to move in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Nothing's gonna hold me back. Nothing's gonna hold me back. Nothing's gonna hold me back. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I'm alive to live for you. I'm alive to live for you. Oh, amazing love, how can it be? Your throne to claim this crown through Christ my own. Yours now forever, yeah. And nothing's gonna hold me back. Come on, sing it out. Nothing's gonna hold me back. Nothing's gonna hold me back. My chains fell off. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I'm alive. For you, I'm alive to live for you. Amazing love, how can it be? You gave everything for me. You gave everything for me. My chains fell off, my heart was free. How can it be? You gave everything for me. You gave everything for me. Everything. Come on, go ahead, clap with me. Now I'm free to live, free to give, free to be, free to love you. Free to live, free to give, free to be, free to love you. Free to live, free to give, free to be, free to love you. Free to live, free to give, free to be, free to love you. Free to live, free to give, free to be, free to love you. Free to live, free to give.
guys know that God is willing and able to do everything that he has asked or he has told you that he would do? Come on, give me a shout. Give God a shout. Come on, guys. You guys can do better than that. Let's shout it to the Lord. Come on. Believe that he is able. If you have faith, let me hear you sing. He's able.
He is able.
It says in Hebrews 11:1 that faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things unseen. So if you actually believe it, I want you to sing this song with me. Okay? All right, let's sing God.
God is able to do just what he said he would do.
He's gonna fulfill.
He's gonna fulfill
every promise to you.
Every promise.
Come on, guys, don't give up on God.
Don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you. He's able.
Come on, clap with him. That he is able. Come on.
He is able.
Hallelujah. Lord God, you are so able, and I thank you for being that. You're trustworthy. Come on, let's see. God is able again.
God is able to do just what he said he would do.
He's gonna fulfill.
He's gonna fulfill
everyone. So I'm going to sing this part, and I want you guys to repeat after me, okay? Whoa. He's got to do it.
He's able.
Every promise.
He's able.
Yeah, he's got to do
he's
it.
Able.
Come on and sing.
He's able.
That he is able.
He's able.
Just sing, yeah.
He's able.
That he is able. Oh.
He's able.
Whoa. with me.
Don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you.
Come on, sing it.
Don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you.
Has anybody ever been to that point?
Don't give up.
Come on, I know that I am not the only one that wanted to give up and throw in the towel. But he is faithful to do everything exceedingly and abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think. Come on, sing that again. Sing, don't give up.
Don't give up. Don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you.
He is able. Not for 30 seconds, just give God the loudest praise that you have. Come on, guys, give God the loudest praise that you have.
No.
notified me that 37 Christians were killed in Egypt this morning. That both breaks my heart and makes me want to shout in the face of the devil that my God is still good and that I'm never going to be ashamed of the God that I serve, that I'm always going to proclaim it in front of anybody that gets in my way, that my God is good. If you want to proclaim that with me this morning, if you're unashamed, just lift up your hands and sing it out with me. For the Lord is good.
For the Lord.
As a worship leader, you try and think about the perfect thing to say at the perfect time. But sometimes the best thing to sing is Jesus. So sometimes just to sing about what he did on the cross for you and me is the best thing. Because right now my heart is hurting. But I'm so glad that he chose me. Thank you, God. And for that I sing.
death could not hold you down. You are the risen King, seated in majesty. You are the risen King.
You are on Palm Sunday, the reason we celebrate that is because Jesus came as he's riding in a kingly fashion. He's overlooking Jerusalem, and as he's looking over Jerusalem, he starts to weep. They're like sheep without a shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd. And then what happened was this, is they took their coats off. They took palm leaves and they laid them down in front of him. Hosanna, 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 which means save now, save now, save now. And you know, today, if you've been saved, man, I tell you something, everything has changed in your life. And he has saved you, amen? Saved you from yourself, saved you from sin, and he's given you purpose and direction and hope and reason. We got a reason to say hallelujah, which means glory be to God. Hallelujah means glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. We give you the glory, Father. We give you the honor, Father. Thank you for Jesus this morning. Thank you for the blood that washes away every stain. Thank you for hope and purpose. Thank you, Jesus, for destiny and direction. Thank you, Jesus, that we have eternity with you in relationship with Father. We love you. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. We worship you. Hallelujah. Jesus, you've won it all for me. I don't know about you, but you got a reason to worship him, amen? You got a reason to let him know that you love him. How many of you are appreciative of what Jesus has done in your life? Why don't you go find five people you don't know and say, I love God and thank him for what he's done in my life. Go find five people you don't know this morning. Don't go just sit down. Go find five people and be friendly. Encourage someone in the Lord while today is called today. Did you get to meet somebody this morning? Did you meet somebody you didn't know this morning? Come on, turn around. Meet somebody you don't know this morning. Don't be snobby.
I'm going to wreck. Pastor Michael Spencer from His Tabernacle Family Church, and we have a ton of events for you this Easter season. April 15th, we're doing the first ever helicopter egg drop right here at His Tabernacle Family Church. Make sure you and your children are here 10 to noon. Don't miss our Easter services Friday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning 9 or 11. We got a play that will knock your socks off. We'll see you in just a little bit.
Ladies, the next Women's Encounter is June 8th through 10th, and you don't want to miss it. It's held at the Best Western in Sayre, Pennsylvania. Your deposit of $200 will hold your spot, and there are only 6 places left. So make sure you contact Carla Vischer to get signed up.
Good morning, HT. That was really weak. Are you guys awake this morning? Good morning, HT. Who's in the house this morning? Woo! We're going to have a good morning, right? We are 1 week ahead of Easter. Isn't that awesome? We have Easter coming up next week. That is the main push and force that we're going to talk about today. We should be going after our friends. We should be going after our relatives and anybody that we can come into contact with. Next weekend, we are holding our Easter services. Amen. I know you guys are really excited about it, right? It's good. Resurrection Sunday. Who doesn't want to celebrate the resurrection of Christ? All right, so listen up. Everything's getting started Friday night. Right here, we're going to be having our first the service at 7 p.m. with our Easter production, starting with the actual production, the play. Okay? So 7 p.m. Ready? Everybody say 7 p.m.? Good, because I can't remember myself. So we got Friday night, 7 p.m. right here. That is going to be the Good Friday service. And then the very next day, Saturday, we're going to be doing our Easter egg hunt. Carla's happy about that. So from 10 to 12 p.m., we're actually holding our first. Do you want to go till 12 a.m., Pastor? 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Yes, it is weird. So 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., we're holding our first ever helicopter Easter egg drop. We're going to be dropping the eggs out of the sky, and we're going to. I hope some kids don't get hit, but. No, we're going to keep them safe. Don't worry. Parents, don't worry. We're going to keep them back. The helicopter won't, blow them away. Cool? All right. So if there is anybody in the house that wants to volunteer to help with the Easter egg drop, we are needing a great deal of help because we're expecting. See, we've mailed out the entire Horseheads area. That is something we've never done before. So we want to make sure that we have people here to help with that. So if you want to help with that, Susan Bull, can you please stand up? There's Susan Bull. She's our children's director. You can please see her or go out to the kids' check-in station after the service. We'd love to have you help out and put our hands together so we can make things happen for outreach. Amen? All right, so last but not least, we have our Easter service on Sunday. We're having 2 services. Everybody say 2 services? So nothing's changing next weekend, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. The Easter production will be taking place, so make sure that you're coming out for the service. Make sure you are inviting somebody. Even go to the next door neighbor, okay? Invite somebody. Everybody turn to somebody. Turn to the person next to you and say, can you invite somebody next week? Were you guys really doing that? I got eyes all over this room, and I didn't see some of you turn. All right, so guess what? Easter Sunday, make sure you're here. Make sure you're celebrating the resurrection of our Messiah and bring somebody with you. Amen? Awesome. Thank you.
Poor Pastor Dan. He forgot what he was up there doing. He went into announcements. We would love to welcome our guests to the house today. Thank you so much for visiting with us, for being our guest today. If it's your first time, if you could just raise your hand, we have a gift bag and information for you. We would love to bless you with. Thank you so much. Just raise your hand up. Oh, awesome. Awesome. Right up in this front area, we have several. Good. I love it when guests sit up front. It's a beautiful thing. And we'd also like to welcome our live stream viewers. We appreciate you joining in, and we know that God is going to touch you today, and you are going to experience His love and His power. So today, if you're in the house and you're a guest, we would like to invite you to a reception to meet the pastors and talk to them. It's right down this hallway immediately following the service. So we would love to get a chance to greet you. So make sure you come to the guest reception. And now we're entering into the time of tithes and offerings. And I love this so much. It is not a duty or a task or something that is belaboring. We actually got the privilege of sitting with one of our young men that we've had in our ministry since he was 12 years old. And he's now in his 30s. He is, I know, really, we're not that old, though. But he was able to share watching when people would get saved and start tithing and the blessing of God on their lives. So he began to tithe. And then he was telling us about 2 years ago, he sowed a large lump sum, his first time ever in his life doing anything like that, to Empowering Pastors Conference, which was a powerful seed that was sown. And he said from that time, his family has been so unbelievably blessed that he knows it was that seed sown that brought forth the harvest. And now he's moved all the way up in his company. They're relocating him, so he's moving on, but he's moving right next to an awesome and dynamic church. You all know when you move away, you find an awesome and dynamic church before you move away. First thing he did was call his pastor and say, "Can you find me a church?" And we've already set them up with a church. So the blessing and favor of God, when you enter into kingdom finances, you can't argue with somebody's life testimony. You can go to that young man and tell him it had nothing to do with it, and he is not going to believe you because he's experienced it firsthand. That's the kingdom finances we enter into when we tithe and we sow every single week. So stand to your feet. Let's make our supernatural declaration and enter into kingdom finance together. As you come forward today, we are going to be taking communion. So make sure you come up and grab communion cups so that you can do communion with your family. Let's repeat our supernatural declaration. Again, this is not a religious act. This is powerful, and it is supernatural what you're doing right now. When you put your finances into the plate, you have a covenant, and that covenant is what we're going to say right now, Deuteronomy 28. If I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. I love it. Wait a minute. We're all making our baskets super big. This is not my basket. We're over here in this corner. This is my basket. They actually took like 6 steps forward. I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord, and make sure you grab your communion cups. If you're watching via live stream, go get some grape juice or anything that you can get your hands on, a piece of bread and crackers, and take communion right along with us. And you can also click on the giving button and give to, or text to give.
My chains fell off, my heart was free. I'm alive to live for you. I'm alive to live for you. Amazing love, how can it be? I'm alive to live for you. Amazing love, how can it be? You gave everything for me. You gave everything for me. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I'm alive to live for you. I'm alive to live for you. Amazing love, how can it be? You gave everything for me. You gave everything for me. Everything.
You said it.
Awesome.
Yep.
On this day that we celebrate and recognize as a holy day, on Palm Sunday, to recognize the gift and the covenant that Christ bought with his life, paid the ransom so that we could have new life. So today it's a powerful day to be able to recognize what God has done for us. And I want to read from Psalms 103. And it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." There is nothing better than blessing the Lord. My soul this morning has blessed the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. His word says, "Do this in remembrance of me." We are not to forget all of the benefits that he has for us and what he's done for us. And it says, "Who forgives all of your sins." There's nothing that you've done that's too bad. You've not sunk too far or too low. It says right here, "Who will forgive all of your sins." And he doesn't stop there. In the same passage, in the same covenant, in the same act of sacrifice that he forgave all of our sins, and he heals all your diseases. He not only saved your soul, but in that same covenant, he heals all of your diseases. And we're going to remember that today. We're not going to forget the benefit package that he paid for with his life. So today, if somebody could play. There you go. Pastor Obi is going to take up lessons right now. Okay. That's all right. This is his body that was broken and beaten for you. And the word of God says, "By my stripes you were healed." So whatever sickness and disease is on your body, has been spoken over your body, as we take this, I remind you that he healed you from it. He healed you from that. when we take this together, healing is going to happen in your body as we remember what he paid for. He was beaten so that we would not have to have pain, sickness, and disease. So whatever that is that's been spoken over you, we're going to speak the word of God over that right now. As we partake together, by his stripes, I was healed. So take the bread together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your covenant, and thank you for your healing. And then the cup represents his blood that was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. You know what the beautiful thing is? His word says, when you get saved, when you apply what he did at the cross, you become a brand new creature. Whatever you used to be identified as, whatever is spoken over you of what you used to be, when you remember what God did, all things become new. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. So I don't know what condition you came into this place with in your heart, but the thing that I do know, I don't even know what people call you or have said about you, but the thing I do know is his blood that was shed gave you a new identity. You are no longer identified by what you used to be. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. Drink this cup in remembrance. Father God, we just thank you. Thank you right now that our bodies are made whole. Our minds are made whole, our emotions are made whole, and all things are made new. Thank you that every sin is under the blood, that we walk out of this place made new. We do this in remembrance of you, Father, and we thank you for it in your precious name. Amen.
Oh, what a morning. Thank you, Lord, for your word. It fills me up every day. Father, I love you. I thank you that you are my power and my portion, my protection, my provision. Lord, what would I do without you? What would I be without you? Thank you so much for loving me and caring for me, for watching over my family. Thank you for your blood that cleanses me, that just, Father, gives me life. I am yours. Do with me as you see fit. Thank you. What a great day. Woo. Thank you, Lord. A new day. Oh, where did I leave off yesterday? I don't remember. What's this? That's really funny. LOL, yes. I really like that. Cool. Oh, really? Yeah, I can do that. That'd be great. Okay, I'll see you tomorrow. Yeah. No time for this. I don't really have time for that today. I need to get going on this. Yeah, it's one of those days. Yep. I'll meet with you later, Lord. Maybe tonight before I go to bed. Yeah. I just don't know what to do. I am so confused. Please be there. Please be there. Please be there. Please be there. Please, please pick up. Oh, come on. Come on, come on. Come on. Please.
Yes?
Pastor. Oh, thank you for being there. I don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. I don't know.
I know who you are. And I know why you've taken her. I want you to realize something quickly. I have a particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over many years of service. Skills that make me horrifying to people like you. I see you trying to interrupt me. If you'll let Marge go, I won't come after you. I won't cast you into the pigs. But if you don't let her go, I'll find you. I'll cast you off.
Good luck.
Good luck? I don't need luck. I got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on my side. Liam only wishes he was as handsome as I am. Open your Bible with me this morning to the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 12. The Bible declares this, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." See, the enemy of our soul is very clear. He's not in this to play a game. We've been talking over the last few weeks about you putting down on paper the names of the people that you're believing God to do a miraculous salvation with. And some of you have already given testimony that God has already started moving in their life. God has already started drawing them to salvation. It's exciting to hear the power of prayer. But we need to recognize that just like the abductors in Taken, they have only one desire, and that is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That the enemy of our soul is not on this planet, but for any other purpose, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. To destroy you, to destroy your loved ones, to destroy your children, to destroy your marriage, to destroy every facet of your life. He wants to destroy your health. He wants to destroy your wealth. The devil's passion is to take what the God has given us, the God of heaven and earth. He wants to take it from you and take it for himself. We've got to have a little umption in our gumption. Can I hear an amen? We have to take a gander at our lifestyle. And many believers' lifestyles are very simple. And that is, we go to church, we read two verses in the morning, we pray for a half of 30 seconds, except when hell starts licking our toes. Then we call somebody else who seems to have a better prayer life. But we've got to know and recognize that Christ has not saved you just to go to heaven. But God has saved you because you have a purpose and a destiny to seek and to save them which are lost. And the devil recognizes your call. The devil recognizes your purpose. The devil recognizes your anointing and your particular set of skills. We've got to have a little... Do you remember the movie? And now my wife and I watched all three of them this week. The one thing you recognize about this guy is he does not sit back and go, well, I hope it works out. That guy got on a plane. He beat up everybody, shot and killed everybody around him. Why? Because he said, I only have one purpose, and that is to protect my family. You see, we sat back for too many years and allowed the enemy to rape and ravage our families. We've allowed him to take our children. We've allowed him to take our mothers and our fathers. We've allowed him to take even some of our own lives. And it's time for us to get violent in the spirit. It's time for us to get aggressive in the spirit and look the devil in the eye and let him know that you cannot have my family. You cannot have my wealth. You cannot have my health. You cannot have what the covenant was paid for. I'm standing firm in the name of Jesus. And I declare, devil, that you got to take the blinders off the eyes of those people that I love. Everything was about getting his daughter back. It didn't matter what the cost was. It didn't matter his life. Again, it comes down to many of us just believing that this is just a religious experience. When we truly lay hold of the truth that without Jesus Christ, without the blood of Christ, without salvation in a person's life, no man can see the Father but by Jesus. When we actually believe that there is only one name under heaven which while you shall be saved. When we actually believe that if they don't confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in their heart that God raised them from the dead. When we don't believe, then we do not get violent in our faith. We simply sit back as pacifists and hope something happens in their life. Right now, across this world, in America too, slavery, human slave trafficking is at one of the highest rates. They're going in, they're snatching little girls, they're snatching individuals, and they're putting them into sex slavery all over the world. We know this one guy, we know him, and Terry and many of the gentlemen in our church know him. He literally would go into other countries, Pakistan and other countries, and find these young girls who are sold into sex slavery and will either try to buy them back. If they can't buy them back, then they're going to fight for them to get back. Even in our world today, we look at that movie and we go, wow, you know, what a great movie. But that is a reality of what's happening in our world today. But in the spirit world, it's even more real. In the spirit world, it's even more of a catastrophe. In the spirit world, there's even more of a cost. Because you can save a physical life. And thank God that their physical life is saved. But you cannot save a spiritual life, then they're dead forever. We've got to have an illumination in the Holy Ghost. We've got to have God give us a revelation at the cost of a soul and the reality of what happens when they are not saved, because the church must again become violent in the spirit. We must again become violent and passionate and aggressive instead of sitting back and just allowing the devil to do whatever he wants to do in our families. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Until we recognize this, then we're just going to sit back and say our nice little prayer. Well, Lord, we just pray something works out. Well, Lord, we hope it works. Well, God, we just ask that you'll do something. Lord, where are you? And God is saying, no, it's not where I am. I've given you authority to trample over serpents. I've given you authority to say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt. I've given you authority to stand in my set, to do even as I did, and greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. But the church has lost the truth that a soul not saved is doomed for all of eternity. And until there's a resurrection in our spirit, until there's a resurrection in our mind, then Easter Sunday is all going to be about egg drops. Do you want to know why we spent thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to drop eggs out of a helicopter? Well, because it's really cool. No, really, it is really cool. You got to admit, that's pretty cool. But the only reason we sent out 4,000, I believe, of these Easter invitations with a bunny on there, with a helicopter, the only reason is because the world needs to be drawn back to the church, and the church has to be violent enough in the spirit and in the flesh to recognize that if they're not saved, they're not going to heaven. And if they're not going to heaven, there is no purgatory. And if there is no purgatory, one who's not saved will be cast into the lake of fire, and they'll be separated from God for all of eternity. We again have to have a passion for the lost. We again have to have a drive to seek and to save. We have to have a drive like that man had over his daughter, that it did not matter the cost. I've got to see. I've got to save. I don't care who gets in my way. I'm aggressive enough to know that somebody who I love cannot go to hell without me trying to save them through the blood of Christ. Until we get to that, then life is just going to happen. Many believers never see one soul saved in their entire life. They never lead one person to Christ in their whole life. It's amazing to me how many individuals will go through an entire life of Christianity and never lead one person to Jesus. I have a Bible college professor. Her name was Sister King. She was very old when I was in Bible college. She was probably in her, I want to say 70s or 80s. Not that that was really old, because I'm getting close. 70 or 80s. But when she retired, she didn't retire. When she retired, she would go get on a bus every day in Providence, Rhode Island. She would get on a bus and she'd drive around with only one purpose in her whole heart. She said, "Christ, who are you going to lead me to today on this bus?" Her whole purpose for going on the bus was not to get somewhere, was not to go for a ride. What her whole purpose on the bus was to be aggressive in the spirit and to try to grab somebody from Satan's taken position and bring them back to Christ, bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Again, the church, we've gotten so soaked in this world's mentality that we have lost the reality of who we are in Jesus and what our call is. And our call is not to survive. Our call is not just to get to heaven, but it's to bring as many people with us as possible. When the church doesn't get this, then we don't care. And when we don't care, we've got to ask ourselves, then whose spirit are we of? Because Jesus' whole purpose for coming on this planet, and let me tell you something, you've never seen somebody more aggressive than the Christ. He wasn't shooting people with guns. In fact, when Peter cut the ear off of the servant, he actually picked it up and put it back on supernaturally. But let me tell you, what you cannot see is more real than what you can see. And the violence in the spirit was so intense. The violence in the Holy Ghost, the violence in the spirit realm against Jesus and Lucifer were so powerful that even when Christ died on that cross and they buried him in the grave, the devil thought he had him. He thought he had the victory. But I've got news for you. On that third day, Jesus Christ, with the violence of heaven, bound up, took back, and grabbed the hold of the lies of the devil and brought salvation to all who will call upon the name of the Lord. It's time to recognize that even Christ, Christos, he was so aggressive, he gave up everything just for you. You see, this is not about physical violence. For the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're weak. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're weak against the devil. What's the word mighty mean? It means strong, to the place of authority and power. You see, Christ has given you and I a mighty call. Christ has given you and I a mighty anointing. Christ has given you and I a mighty position. And we cannot sit back in all of our might and say, well, that's just too bad. There's no way to help. Can you imagine if your child was snatched, God forbid, and you just sat home and kept eating potato chips and watching the paper? Maybe even watching the Taken movies. You can watch the Taken movies all you want, but if your child is snatched and you're just watching the Taken movies, then there's something wrong. Can I hear an amen? When you come to church and you know people have been snatched and taken and you don't care enough to tell or say something to them, then there's something wrong. Can I hear an amen, Romai? We've got to have this revelation because the church has been lulled into a sleep. We've been lulled into a comfort place. And God is saying it's time for the resurrection, a revival of the church. And the revival of the church is that we have a passion to see those people that are lost saved, because we know that if they are 70, come on now, what did he say? 72 hours. That's what the guy said. You got 72 hours to save your daughter. He got a plane. He went overseas. He's running and shooting and killing. Even his friends, he shot his wife. He only had one purpose. That was to make sure that his little girl did not get sold. She was taken. And we've got to have this revelation that the people that are on your list, that your mother and your father that you've given up on, your brother and sister that you've given up on, your husband or your wife that you've given up on, Christ has not given up on them. He has a passion for them. He gave his all to get to them. They might be taken. Their blinded minds might be there. But he has given you and I the authority in the Holy Ghost to take the power over them. We fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. You see, God has given us authority in Jesus' name. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But I love James chapter 4, verse 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he might flee from you. He what? He what? The devil will flee from you. You see, you have all authority over the power of the devil. Every demon that is blinding the mind of your loved one, every demon that is bringing them into captivity, into some element of life. We've given up on people with have heroin addictions and people that are alcoholic. We say there is no hope, or they're always going to be that way. I want you to know that he whom the Son has set free is free indeed, and that Jesus Christ can take somebody that everybody else has given up on, and he can change them. In a moment of time, the power of God can set people free. This is not the power of a church. This is not the power of a religion. But we're talking about Jesus, the most violent one in the spirit that we have ever seen. He gave up his all so that everybody taken might have a way to escape. The devil just hates people. He hates you. He'll placate you, pacify you, lull you. He'll date you. He'll marry you. He'll do what he has to do to get you into his camp. The spirits will come upon you and lull you into that blindedness. But Jesus Christ came to open blinded eyes. And that's not just in the physical, that's in the spiritual. Jesus has given you and I authority in his name. We are not weak, but we are. I said we are not weak, but we are strong. This is not a fleshly thing. If you notice, I've been preaching for 3 weeks on soul winning. And you've got to ask yourselves a basic question. How many people have I talked to? Has it moved me? Have I been moved by the message? It's not the message of Spencer. It's not the message of his tabernacle. It's not the message of a religion. These are the words from Christ. I'm not preaching my own thing. In fact, if I do, I challenge you. I want you to come and make an appointment. And if I'm preaching incorrectly the word of God, I will stand up and I will apologize. Why? Because it's not my word that matters. The Bible says that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the soul and the spirit and the bone and the marrow, and is a discerner between the thoughts and the intents of the heart. When the word is released, when God's power is released, it brings change into the dimension of the spirit before it manifests in the flesh. But if it's not happening in the spirit, it will never manifest in the flesh. See, this is not fleshly violence, but spiritual violence. I love the words. You see, when you look up in the Greek, the words are simple. Suffers violence, you means to use force, to apply force, to inflict violence upon. The enemy hopes that you and I remain as ignorant as possible. Dumb believers is what he loves. Pacifists is what he loves. Those who we can lull into a place, yes, you can still go to heaven as long as you don't take anybody with. But this is where the body of Christ, the sons and daughters of God, those anointed of the Holy Ghost, the army of the Most High King, have to stand back up and say that I refuse to allow just anybody. I refuse to allow my family. I refuse to allow my friends. I refuse to allow my circle of influence not to hear the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation, that they might be saved, that they might be free, that they may know that Jesus is alive. You know, my stepfather is a very interesting man. The one thing you'll find about Grandpa Al is this: it don't matter where you are, it don't matter what you think, it don't matter whether you like him or not, he is going to share the gospel with you. He is one of those kind of people that makes people uncomfortable sometimes. But you know what? I'd rather make somebody uncomfortable than to let them go to hell without knowing the aggression of Christ to save them. Well, I don't want to offend them. What are you going to offend them to? The violent take it by force. The word violence literally means an utmost eagerness and effort, strong, forceful. To pluck, to pull, to take. You know, my wife drives a very interesting vehicle. It's a Lincoln MKT. If you have never seen one of those, it's very long. And not too many years ago, one of the local funeral homes bought one and use it to put bodies in. So we look at my wife and we say she has a soul snatcher. Just the other day, she came and she said, I had a generous interruption. And I said, what is this generous interruption? I have to tell on you. Because I love the violence that you have and caring more for people and obeying God than other people. She's driving down. Remember those rainstorms we've had? She's driving home. And as she's driving home, she passes this young guy walking on the street. Now, she's always been told, don't pick up hitchhikers. Don't pick up strangers. He wasn't even hitchhiking. He's just walking in the rain, in the cold, 40 degrees. And the Spirit of God said, turn around and go pick him up. And she said, I'm going to get in trouble if I do that. But she obeyed God. She turned around, stayed on the opposite side of the road, and said, hey, young man, would you need a ride somewhere? And he was as freaked out as she was. But it worked out that he got into the car, and she said, I just want to put you at ease. My name is Pastor Rhonda Spencer. We pastor over at His Tabernacle Family Church. He says, I've been there a few times. He said, I got in a fight with my parents, and I thought they would pick me up by now. So my wife drove this young man home and was able to minister to him all the way home. You see, we don't know, but we do know this, that in the spirit realm, God is moving in that young man's life. God is moving on that family. Why? Because he sent a daughter of God to do the will of God, and what happens in the spirit is aggressive. You see, the devil loves to be aggressive to snatch your friends. He loves to put them in bondage to alcohol. He loves to put them in bondage to some addictions. He loves to put them in bondage to a male or a female. He loves to put them in a place where they are captive, but Christ came to set the captives free, and that is what Jesus is all about, and that's what you and I are all about, and we've been given authority to act on his stead. It's a battlefield that is best fought violently on our knees. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You have been given such powerful authority in the name of Jesus. And in this house, I know you've been taught that because I teach that, and we teach it in Rock Solid Faith, and we teach it in the other classes, that you're not some wimp little Christianette running around just hoping to make it by. Oh, Jesus, please come quickly. I want him to come quickly. I want the trumpet to sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together within the air. But we've got too many souls to save. God, give us a little bit of a reprieve so we can get more people born again by the power of God. You see, we've got to get back to understanding our purpose. You've been given such a powerful supernatural authority that if you're not aggressive with it, you know, we all have children, those who have children. One thing that you have when you have a child is you don't need to teach them to be rebellious. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Nothing you have to teach them. When the two-year-old looks at you and says, now. When they're in a store with you and you just pass, I want that. And you don't buy them that. And they start screaming, I want that! Ah! And everybody's looking down the aisle. No one has to teach them rebellion. But it's our job as parents to exercise our authority to bring them in alignment so they're not hellions when they turn 15. Come on, you and I have all said it. If they think they got problems now, wait till he's 15. But this is the truth in the spirit realm. We've been given an authority, and because the church has been lax and lazy, because the church has been so self-absorbed in their own lifestyle of just making it by on this planet, that we have lost the very reason for our breath on this planet. Jesus said, greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. The word of God declares in Matthew 18, 18 and 19, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And again, I say that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Luke chapter 10, verse 17 through 20. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. Jesus declared in Mark chapter 16, go and preach the gospel to every creature, and these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they touch any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. And when they lay hands on the sick, they shall
recover. We are not a weak church. We are not a pacifistic church. We are not a church that just lets people go and die. But we are a passionate church. We're an aggressive church. We're a church that says, I don't know what's got them. I don't know what's bound them. But this I know, that by the blood of Jesus and the power of the anointing, they can be set free in Jesus' name. I refuse to allow them to go to hell without me grabbing a hold. You see, when the church gets back to our call, then the churches won't be small. That was a rhyme, honey. I rhymed that thing. I almost impressed myself. I gotta say it again. When the church gets back to its call, the churches won't be small. Why? Because people will win the lost for Jesus. People will care that they're dying and going to hell. Even the people that hate you, and you might not particularly like them, you have a particular skill. What is that? That in the name of Jesus, I bind every devil that's blind in their mind, and I loose the Holy Ghost to set them free, and free indeed. I'm not weak, but I am strong. See, we're the church.
Well, I go to church. Well, you know, I was going through a really hard time. So I went to church, and, you know, it's nice. Maybe you want to go with me.
Come on now. When you believe in something, when you really believe that God is alive and not dead, when you believe that God has anointed you for work and service for his kingdom, that literally when you declare the name of Jesus, heaven stands up, that when you declare the name of Jesus, angels are released, that when you declare the name of Jesus, devils scream and cower, when you declare the name of Jesus, even Satan himself is subject to you in that name. Why? Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I have that divine authority been passed to me by Jesus himself. See, we're the church, not the church. If this father had gotten on a plane and gone over, and remember the police detective and taken one, his friend said, you know, just let me handle this. Don't cause trouble. Well, I'm a troublemaker. I don't know about you, but God's called me to be a troublemaker. I'm called to trouble the very wells of hell. I'm called to grab and snatch all those that are lost and dying and that don't have the blood of Jesus applied. I am not some little wimpish Christian, but I'm a son of God, anointed by the Holy Ghost. And I've got a power that's within me that will heal the sick, that will raise the dead. It's time for the believers to believe again and have a vision and a passion for those that are lost and dying. You see, when we don't have this, when we don't battle on our knees, we don't bind those devils in Jesus' name, then those demons have a right to rule and reign. I rhymed again. You're watching miracles happen in front of you. Some of you have people on that list, you haven't even prayed for them. You did a five-second little thing.
Jesus, help them.
If Liam had done that, his daughter would have been sold into sex slavery in that movie. There's got to be an aggression in your spirit. But you see, there's no need for aggression if you don't actually believe that it's their eternity. If you just believe it's, well, they didn't go to church, then there's no big deal. But when you actually believe that they will be lost and tormented for all of eternity, and Lucifer and all demons from hell will laugh and just stutter their glory because they're gonna say constantly, we got you. Do you care? You know why we push this around Easter? Because honestly, there are people that will move on Easter that won't move any other time. But if you're not going to move on them aggressively, they're not going anywhere either. Do you realize that some people only have one shot? There's a great woman of God in the late 1800s. And there was a man who jumped up in the back of her service, all mad because she's preaching the gospel. And the Holy Ghost said, stop him.
And she looked at him and said, sir, the Holy Spirit told me that if you step out these doors, you'll be dead before you hit the bottom steps. He got aggressive, all right, but not in the God side. Walked out the door, and before he hit the bottom step, he had a massive heart attack and died. At another time, she looked at a man who was jumping up and leaving the service. She said, sir, today your soul will be reckoning. God is calling you to repentance. And some people would say, oh, that is just so aggressive. Oh, my goodness, that is just so over the top. Why in the world would you do that? That's embarrassing. Listen, I'd rather be embarrassed out of hell than loved into, come on now. I'd rather be embarrassed out of hell and into heaven than loved into hell in the lake of fire. She said, sir, today your life will be reckoned with God. And he threw it aside and did not care. Before he crossed the threshold of his home, because he never did, he was hit by a train on the way home. And that day his soul was reckoned. See, we play games. We play games. And you know, I'm an aggressive pastor, and I've had people leave the church because of my aggression, and that's all right. I don't mind, because I'm not here to please people. There are too many people in our region that are not going to heaven. That if they died today, they'll be in hell waiting for the lake of fire. And it's our job. We're the church. We're the army of God. We're the anointed of heaven. We've been the ones that God has handed the baton to after Christ and said, now greater works shall you do. It's time for passivity to put down and grab a hold of the battle axe of heaven. Get on our knees and start binding and loosing. Start releasing the power of God into our friends' lives. When was the last time you battled for somebody for more than 5 minutes? When was the last time you prayed for somebody that you knew was going to cross the threshold of hell if you did not do and say something? When was the last time you prayed for somebody for more than 10 minutes? When was the last time you cried for somebody that you knew that if they died, they would not see Christ? Until that burden gets back in our spirit. Oh, pastor, that's not my ministry. It's every single Christian's ministry. It's every one of our ministry. Every one of us in this room. Doesn't matter how old or how young you are. I've watched children lead people to more Jesus than adults. Because the adults are so afraid to offend somebody. Listen, without you, there is no hope for them. Well, you know, I'm not in that position where I can. Yes, you are. God placed you in that circle of influence. It's time to be aggressive in the spirit. Be sensitive to God. The Holy Spirit said, turn around and go back and get that young man. We don't know what that will do, but obedience always releases the power of God. Some of you are just afraid. Fear is not of God. Amen. If Liam was afraid, he'd have stayed home in his living room. But he loved his daughter more than his own life. And when was the last time you loved somebody more than your own life? That's a powerful statement. I'm going to say it one more time. When was the last time you loved somebody even more than your own life? You see, as the young people spoke this morning, the young adults, 37 people died in church today, or today, there yesterday. They were blown up. How many people would even come to church if they knew that there was an assault possible? We love this world too much, and it's time to let go of the world and start running with the vision of heaven. And that is to seek and to save them which are lost. Man, you'll have no greater joy than leading your friends to Christ, than leading your enemies to Christ, than leading your mom and dad to Christ. But they'll never know until you get aggressive in the spirit. You bind the devil that blinds the mind of the unbeliever. You start taking aggression in the Holy Ghost. Start binding those spirits of addiction. Start binding those spirits of molestation. Start binding those spirits of
of rebellion. Start binding, start binding. Why? Because when you speak, the demons have to respond. They have to yield. They have to surrender. Why? Because greater is he that is in you. It's not a game. It's not a religion. It's not church. When people are on their cycle, you know, of church thing, in my spirit, I just simply say they still don't get it. Because it's not about going to church. It's about bringing someone to church. It's about leading them to Jesus and then bringing them to church. It's about seed time and harvest. And I want you to know that in this house, we're an aggressive church. And I'll spend whatever money we got. Last year, $320,000 was spent to reach the lost. Nope. 28% of the church budget was spent to save the lost. Not to pad, not to give raises. Can you imagine how much we could make? Can you imagine how blessed the staff would be if we stopped reaching the lost for Jesus? We'd have it made. But what does it cost for someone to be saved? What is it worth for someone to be saved? For me, it's worth $320,000, because that's everything we got. We actually do have a savings now. Yeah, we have a little bit of a savings. You told me, don't lie, go to hell. You see, that's what the treasurer people don't want us to know. You know, the bookkeepers, they don't want pastor to know this money. Because what's a soul worth? I'm willing to pay whatever we got. Why? What's your loved one worth? What did Jesus pay? It's worth it all. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, God, something that I cannot do, I preached your word as you gave me direction. Holy Spirit, I speak the word of God and only the word of God, and I know the anointing is on the word of God. And I ask in Jesus' name, not my name, not the church's name, I ask in Jesus' name, Father God, that you will move on the hearts of the people that are in this room and watching by live stream in the name of Jesus. I ask, God, that you'll burden us. I ask, God, that you'll overwhelm us. I ask, God, that even as we look at the lost, that it will move us. That, God, we will stop being so self-absorbed that we forget that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. God, make us aggressive in the Holy Ghost. Make us aggressive at work. Make us aggressive at home. Make us aggressive at our sports. God, make us aggressive. That, Lord, we will not let one say, I never heard that Jesus is the only way. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, you remember, taken one. He listened to that tape time and time again. Good luck. Good luck. Good luck. And one day he was standing in a room and he said, can you interpret this for me? And the man said, good luck. And he says, don't you remember me? I told you I'd find you. Is the enemy afraid of you? He will be. If you use your set of skills and start snatching souls as quickly as possible. Father, move on our hearts in Jesus' name. God, let this place be so filled this Friday night, this Saturday afternoon and Saturday morning, and God, next Sunday, let this place be so filled that we'll have a traffic jam so big that, God, we're going to have to call the cops and pay them to help us unravel it. Father, I pray that the altars will be filled with people that are going to see what you paid for. That Jesus, they'll see the passion you have for them and the aggression to seek and to save. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that they will call upon the name of the Lord and they shall be saved. I will pray, God, right now in Jesus' name that that anointing will be on, that aggressive spirit will be on each believer, that this week will invite people that would never have ever come before, but they'll beckon the door because they were asked under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Move us to prayer, God, like we've never been moved, that we may take back what the devil has stolen, and that you will have heaven filled and hell drained. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, maybe you're in the room, you've never received him in your life. I'm not talking about religion, joining a church. You can join a church and still go to hell. I want you to know him. I want you to walk with him. I want you to talk with him. Jesus paid the price for relationship, that your sins will be washed away. Today, if you need your sins washed away, you need Christ as your Savior. I want you to slide your hand up right now. I'm not going to be long. If you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'd like you to slide your hand up. Is there anybody in the room? Not going to wait long. Come on, get your hand up. 5, 4, get your hand up. 3, 2, thank you. Last call. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. Father, I release a blessing on the house in the name of Jesus. I declare that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. I declare that no sickness or disease has a right in their body. We curse it, command it to come out in Jesus' name. I thank you, God, that you are going to use us to be mighty harvesters and seeders this week. That, Lord, we will fill your house and fill heaven. That we will truly be soul snatchers in the name of Jesus. And everybody shouted. I said, everybody shouted, shout, I'm a soul snatcher. The prayer team's around the front of the altar. Come if you need prayer. We love you. If you're a guest, we'd love to meet you in the other room. Have an awesome day. Soul snatch today for Jesus.
My chains fill.